Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Love my I'm going to outline a little scenario here, and y'all tell me if you recognize this situation. Before I came up to work for Glenn and Jed, I did a lot of ministry with high school kids where I was from. And this was a common sight. You would walk into the lunchroom or the locker room or where they're hanging out, and there'd be seven dudes around someone's phone looking at a text message he'd gotten from a girl, and just going, all seven of them, putting their heads together, what does it mean, man? She used two smiley faces, but not three. How could we decode such mysteries? And they always got it wrong. You know why? Because dude asked his seven other knucklehead dude friends, none of whom know anything about women, love, or the way the world works, and they all got to the worst possible conclusion. Some of us may have done this into our adult years. I'm not here to judge. But we all know the answer. We all know who you ask when you have a question about what someone, maybe a female type person specifically, is thinking. You ask their best friend. You ask the person who knows them because they know. Now, they might not tell you because they have some secret meeting somewhere else where they all conspire to keep us in the dark about things they know, but that's fine. But that's the person who has the information. If you want to know what someone means, you go to someone who knows them, right? You don't go to the expert in the field. You don't go to the most educated person you can find. You go to someone who knows them. Let's put it this way. Have you ever had someone tell a third party what you meant by something? Oh, when he said that, he meant, or when he left, he meant. Has that person ever been right at all? Has that ever not caused more confusion and headache on your end? Because especially if that person doesn't know you, and there are people in this world who just love to translate and interpret for people they don't even barely know. They're causing all sorts of headache. But when we get to this God thing, the people we look for to tell us what God means are not necessarily the people who know him the best. They're not necessarily the ones who have been talking to him. That's the way the church has it a little weird. Oftentimes, the person we listen to is just the person who yaps the most, who has the most opinions on the most things. That's not really a way to go about things, is it? That's not the way to get where you're going. Let's go to this story real quick. This is a very famous story in John 18 here. So this is towards the end of the book of John. Jesus has been arrested, and he's taken before the Roman governor, this guy called Pilate, because the Jewish religious leaders want him killed because he's making trouble for them. But they have to convince the Romans, because the Romans were actually in charge, and they're the only ones who had the authority to actually execute someone. So they had to convince the Romans that Jesus was doing something wrong. But the thing about the way the Romans did business when they were taking over places is they didn't care. They came, they conquered you, they told you, you got to pay this much in taxes. And after that, they didn't really mess around too much. So Pontius Pilate had no idea who this guy was, what he had done, what any of this deal was, but he's got to deal with him now. So this is the conversation they're having. And basically, the thing Pilate wants to know is, has Jesus claimed to be the king of the Jews? Because that would be a problem, because the only king is the Roman king. So if you got that one thing wrong, we got to deal with you. And he says, so this picks up in verse 36. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. This dude just told him, I am the king of heaven and all things and people who die. And he said, aha, I got you. You are a king. Not really listening to the whole situation here, is he? Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king. We go to this next slide here. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. That's an interesting point. Not everyone on the side of the truth has this kind of degree or reads this much Bible or goes to this kind of church or lives this kind of straight lifestyle and always has. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Again, I want to make sure we're crystal clear on what this guy Jesus had in the conversation with has just heard. Not only am I a king, I am a king of a kingdom more powerful than anything you can conceive of, and I, my very self, am truth. To know truth is to have a relationship with me. And then this genius flips it this way. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. Wrong answer. Don't say that to Jesus. With this, he went out again to the Jews and gathered there. I find no basis for a charge against him. One of the ways we can recognize finding truth in something. How do I know what God thinks? There is an answer to some things. We have to be very clear about that. There's this idea in church of everybody's got a point and everybody has equal vision and value, and we all just have to come around. It's not true about everything. There's some things we call them kind of theological imperatives, that Jesus is God, that he did die on the cross, that he was raised on the third day, that Jesus cares about the poor and oppressed, that he cares about justice, that he does not vote a certain way, that he does not care about this and that. You have to be clear on what the non-negotiables are. And what we have here is a brother who has heard a non-negotiable and said, but I want to keep debating because the debate's the whole thing to me. That's not the kind of person who's going to help you get where you want. Now, on the flip side, I'm sure some of these other pastors talk about this. There are some things there's no real right or wrong answer to. There are parts in the Bible where the Apostle Paul says, some of you say it's this way and some of you say it's that way, and whatever works for you. Whatever, if you want to eat this and not that, or go here and not here, that's fine. We're not going to get caught up in that. But I want to take the rest of our time looking at this idea of everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Because I think we get caught up in that. Because here's the thing, you can listen to God just as well as that person with the degree or with the suit and all the opinions. You have the same access to asking God things because of what Jesus has done for you. Amen. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to have a microphone to ask things. As a matter of fact, that is how we know what God thinks, because you have a relationship with God. And there is truth and untruth in the context of that relationship. Back to the thing about the text message. If you get the text message from your girl, you don't call the inventor of the iPhone to decode what she meant when she used that exclamation point, because he don't know. You know, because you know the person sending this. I think a lot of times, and I know I'm just going to speak for myself, it's easy, as they said in the launching pad, to get caught up in that, well, other people know so much Bible and the Greek and the this, that, and the King James, and it's not how it is, man. You have a relationship with God. You can ask. You can double check. Now, as we said in our question, the Bible obviously is very important, because it serves to give you a sense of what God is like. Take, for example, in Galatians, where it says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So odds are, if there is a voice in your head telling you to strangle some fool, that's not very loving, peaceful, or self-controlling, so that's probably not God. We can use some things to sort out like that. You've got your letter from the person. The words inside that are important. And we don't have this verse in the slide, but I want you to go home and look this up. This is Hallie read out of the book of James in the launching pad. And this comes a little later. She read that bit about wisdom. Here's something very important as we go forward and look at this topic. Wisdom is very different than knowledge. Knowledge is to know something. Wisdom is about what you do with it. In the book of James chapter 2, he says, you believe there's only one God. Well, I don't care, because Satan believes that too. He has the same piece of knowledge that you do. Knowledge is not the thing. But then he says, if you have wisdom, if you actually do what God tells you, then you become like Abraham. And it's a very interesting thing. Go home and look this up. James 2:22, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Very important. There's one word difference. I want you to not miss this. It does not say Abraham believed in God. It does not say Abraham had a piece of knowledge about God. It says God told Abraham something about their relationship, and he believed it, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then it says, and because of that, Abraham was called God's friend. This all comes back to that idea of a relationship. The good news is you don't have to be insecure about that. You don't need credentials for a relationship with God. You don't need an education. You don't need to know this much Bible. All you need is to believe. The book of Romans says, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess in your mouth that God raised him from the dead, and you're as saved as anyone has ever been.
Yeah. Right.
You're as saved gets. And now you have this relationship. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to pray and get wisdom. And now we can go through life. We have this Bible that is a roadmap. We have these conversations. And you're going to hear people tell you anything. I want to close on this idea, the very important point made in the launchpad. What happens if I start listening to God and I start living this out and making some choices and church people don't like it? And they won't. Because there are some places, luckily not churches we bring to the bridge, but there are some places where churches don't like the idea of you having the hotline to God, because that puts them out of a job. They want to put themselves on a nice little level above you where they are upper management. They want to be God's secretary. You can't just call straight to him. I gotta take your message down. But the good news on that is if you have that wisdom, not everything has to be a fight. Not everything has to be a confrontation. You can say, whatever you want to do is fine. I'm going to go pursue this because I know God is on this. You don't have to believe it. That's the thing about truth, right? What is truth? You don't have to believe in truth for it to be truth for me. If you say, I think you can go up to the top of the Sears Tower and jump off, and I'm not sure about all this gravity stuff, I don't think anything bad is going to happen. You are free to have that opinion and try it out for yourself. But I know from truth that's not, I've seen the Elmer Fudd cartoons where he walks off the ledge. I know it's going to happen. So I'm going to go ahead and operate on truth. I don't need you to buy into it. I don't need consensus. Because your truth comes from God, and it comes from your relationship with him. Amen? Amen.